So it's only going to be around
96.3 right now, 13th week.
You can actually go get it on Blu-ray right now if you want to. So
nice.
You can buy it.
All right. We'll both see it for Black Panther. Number 8 is Tully with Charlize Theron once again making herself not pretty in another movie. Charlize Theron, a mother of 3, hires a nanny to help her with her newborn. I'm skipping this one. How about you?
Millennial hipster garbage. No, thank you. Will not see under any circumstances.
Number 7 is Rampage. It made $3.5 million in its 5th week. It is The Rock. It's based on a video game, of course. He's a primatologist and a geneticist who team up to stop them from destroying Chicago. I'm going to rent it for this. I actually enjoy the video Rampage.
I love
the video game.
I love
and
the
I
game.
Love The Rock.
I love the game. I love The Rock. Some Saturday afternoon when there is nothing else to do, I will watch this on cable.
There we go. We're both renting Rampage. Number 6 is I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer. We know about this one. Derek's saying no right off the bat. I originally said rent, but after seeing SNL this weekend, I want to bring her down another notch, and I'm changing it to skip, too.
You said the magic words, Amy Schumer. As soon as you say that, no.
Yeah, I'm sick of her now, too. It's 4.5 out of 10 on IMDb, so I do not feel good about I Feel Pretty. A Quiet Place. I'm going to see it for this. It's been out for 6 weeks. It's made $169 million. This looks like a great horror movie. I still haven't gotten a chance to see it. How about yourself?
If I had time to see this, I would. But given where it's come out and all the other stuff that's coming out, I think I'm definitely going to see it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like one that would be really awesome to see in the theater. So
I agree. Yeah.
I would say go see that.
I'm with see it on this one, too. And I hope to get it this week before it's out of the theaters. Overboard is the next one. Spoiled wealthy yacht owner is thrown overboard, becomes the target of revenge from his mistreatment. From his mistreated employee. I'm going skip on this one. I don't know much about it. It's 5.3 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
Comedy romance.
Yeah, no. No, that's a no for me.
I think it's number 4 just because there were people that wanted to go out on dates that were teenagers over the weekend, wanted a break.
Yeah.
Breaking In is number 3. A woman fights to protect her family during a home invasion. 4.9 out of 10. I'm going straight skip on this action crime drama.
Seen it before. Probably seen it done better. I will pass.
Yeah. Number 2 is Melissa McCarthy with Life of the Party.
No.
It's new. She's divorced. It's basically back to school, but with women. I am going no, not primarily for that reason, but also Melissa McCarthy, I'm feeling kind of, I'm kind of getting sick of her.
She has a movie coming out later this year where she's in a dramatic role, and it looks really good.
I'd like to see what she does with that.
And I want to see it. This is another one of those movies that her husband directed.
Yeah.
And if you know the trajectory of those movies, it's been straight off a cliff.
Yeah.
No. This never should have even been made.
Yeah. It's just, you know, to me, she's Chris Farley. You know, I mean, she's pretty much Chris Farley, just all the energy and just kind of acting silly, and you know, I'm kind of sick. Plus, I hate seeing the remake of Back to School. Yeah. It's like, come on, enough with these remakes with women that were done with guys before. Who cares?
Go find something else to do.
And then, of course, number 1 is The Avengers: Infinity War. The soundtrack's in the background right now. I finally saw it this week. Fantastic movie. See it, see it, see it. My number 2 favorite superhero movie all the time. I have to go with Superman from 78. It's still my favorite because I saw it as a kid. I saw it in Woburn. I had the day off from school. I loved it. And Infinity War, I don't know a whole lot about the Marvel characters, but I've seen all the movies. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
See it again.
Yeah.
See it in IMAX. See it in everything. You have to see the other movies before you see it. You can't just sort of walk in and not know who anybody is. Mm-hmm. But if you've seen the other movies, and given that they've made like billions of dollars off of these, apparently enough of us have, this movie is totally earned and one of the most amazing experiences you can have.
It is great. And once again, thank you to Derek Gary coming in to watch this. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad you came in. I'm glad you picked those 5 movies. Great movie discussion. Great soundtracks.
Thank you. I have to go fetch my co-host.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to throw on the theme music for The Big Picture, which is starting in just a minute.
Sounds good.
And I will fetch my co-host, and we will be back. The theme music will be running a little bit longer than usual this week, but that's okay.
And I will be back next week with Derek's wife. Molly is going to be here.
Yikes.
And she's going to come in with her 5 flicks. So, and also my new show on Fridays from 2 to 5, Sucking in the 70s, all 70s music, this Friday on WMFO Medford. Coming up next is The Big Picture with Derek and Shay. Talk to you later.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Chris Earle took down the thing that has the phone number on it that should be on top of the thing. And now I can't read it.
You really don't have it memorized by this point?
I know it, but no one else does. So 855-915-WMFO. Yes, the clock is broken. We have no clock here in the radio station. We'll find a way of getting through this. Coming up later tonight, I don't even know what we're talking about later tonight, Shay. What are we talking about later tonight?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
That's a good thing. people get excited when we talk about that. But I thought we were talking about something more. I don't know.
I have no voice right now, I apologize to our listeners. Phone sex operator thing I got going on.
You got the Demi Moore thing going on. That's awesome. So I'm going to assume that throat thing you had going last week has not improved.
No. Well, it was actually last week it was food poisoning. And this week, unfortunately, my best friend's mom passed over the weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But she's a musician, so that how musicians grieve is singing at the top of their lungs over and over and over again, which I participated in.
Nice.
Which is why I sound like this. but I do like, I think it gives me like a kind of mystique.
It does.
It's a... hey, how you doing?
It's very vibe. Cool. And by the way, this is what I sound like. The way you sound right now, this is what I sound like on Thursday morning after doing the radio show.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, this is usually a result of doing radio and talking for 2 hours straight. But now I sound like this before talking for 2 hours straight.
Yeah. So tomorrow you won't be able to talk at all. That'll be fun.
Oh, it's going to be adorable.
Yeah.
Well, best waitressing moment ever.
Hopefully not that bad. But anyway, let's get into all of the wacky fun things that are happening in our world.
Indeed.
Oh, God.
Wrong one. Oh, tonight is already off the rails.
Everything's broken. I'm just going to say it right now. Everything's broken. Not my fault.
In local news, the suspect who fired at police, prompting a hours-long standoff, has been found dead of an apparent suicide. The standoff began at 9:30 a.m. this morning when police in Middleborough were fired upon while attempting an arrest warrant at 469 Wareham Street. No one was hit by the gunfire, which prompted police to pull back, take cover, and establish a perimeter. The suspect remained barricaded inside the house. State police and the Southeastern Massachusetts Law Enforcement Council SWAT team responded to the scene to assist. The suspect was subsequently found dead inside the home around 5 p.m. The deceased suspect was described as a male in his late 30s or early 40s. His name and the specific charges against him have not been released. But police did say the warrants they were attempting to serve were for multiple felonies.
So not a good guy. And I would say our thanks to...
deservedly dead. I rarely say that about somebody. But
never going to say anybody's deservedly dead, but certainly my thanks to the suspect in this case for saving us the cost of a trial and incarceration.
I would say, think of all the taxpayer money he's saving.
I wish more criminals would be that considerate and thoughtful of the taxpayers.
It was... very considerate of him.
But this thing has been going on all day long. They've had a shelter in place going on. They shut down the exits from 495 to the area where this is going on.
Yeah.
So traffic has been a mess all day long.
That makes sense. It affected up here. Like, traffic was terrible today in Somerville, Medford. This has been a... a widespread situation, let's put it that way. Like, I slept in Revere last night, and even coming back down here, I was like, why is it taking me an hour to get somewhere that's 20 minutes away? But that makes sense. Because what do they call it? Domino effect.
Yeah. There's also apparently a hole in an overpass on 495.
So that makes sense.
They've had to shut that down for that, too. So, stay off of 495. Is rule number one. And beyond that, sorry to see the guy's dead, because, you know, the thing I think about in this is, like, it makes the cops unhappy, you know, and they're...
Well, injustice can't be served. You can't, like, if the guy's dead, whatever he did, I mean, multiple felony charges leads me to believe that he's wanted for at least assault. He did something really bad.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the victims. I assume he has.
We will find. We'll find out.
Their family's not going to be able to get justice.
We'll find out tomorrow what he did. And But thank you for saving the taxpayers' money. That's always appreciated.
We very much appreciate that, felon. Well, in national news, according to a federally required annual financial disclosure form released by the Office of the Government of Ethics today, Donald Trump reported that he reimbursed personal attorney Michael Cohen for costs apparently incurred in paying adult film star Stormy Daniels for a non-disclosure agreement. Federal law requires White House officials, including the president, to report liabilities owed to any creditor that exceed $10,000 at any time during the reporting period. It is illegal to, quote, knowing and willfully, end quote, omit or falsify information on disclosure forms, a crime that is punishable by a fine and up to 1 year in prison.
Now, my understanding was that this wasn't omitted. This has actually been on his financial disclosure form for quite some time, and that Robert Mueller was
aware of
this.
Well, it's just that it got released today.
Right.
That's the thing. But yeah, I mean, he didn't, in this particular instance, he did not break the law.
Yeah.
He actually obeyed the law by saying, I did that. That's money that came out of my account to do this.
And if it is Donald Trump taking Donald Trump money and giving it to Michael Cohen, then that's fine. If he is giving it to Michael Cohen as a loan, that is a potential ethics violation. But everything I've been able to understand about this particular aspect of the ongoing Leviathan of the Russian investigation is that Cohen made...
It is quite the complex situation.
Cohen made the payment out of money that he got from the Russians through his own practice and things he was doing for the Russians, and then billed Trump for it. So if there's no loan, if there's no campaign finances involved, which does not appear to be the case, everything here is above the board.
I was going to say, that's what's funny about this, is that a lot of people are speaking as though this is just another thing that we can hold against Trump. But on the flip side, he's being upfront about it.
Yeah.
Like, he could have lied. He could have tried to sweep this under the rug, but he came out and was like, yeah, I totally paid that money.
Yeah. he paid the stripper for sex legitimately, kids. The president of the United States paid the stripper for sex legitimately.
He does good on his debts.
That's your headline.
In this case.
President legitimately pays stripper for sex. You put that in your New York Times. And
oh my God, what have we come to?
Yeah. It doesn't make the story any nicer.
I was gonna say, that's where we're at now. We have to applaud our president for properly paying a stripper to have sex with him.
Yes. It's good.
That's where we're at right now.
He's
in
a man
society.
He's a man of rare character. when it comes to these business dealings, he seems to know what's legal and what's not.
Oh, Donald.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye.
Meanwhile, that stupid lawyer apparently is on CNN like twice a day now. And
of course he is.
There are a lot of questions being asked about him now in different corners.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody is like, why is this guy on so much? Who's really behind this?
And he does come off as somebody who's a spokesperson for someone who's smarter than him.
Yeah.
that's what he comes off as.
The feeling is...
Like, he's pretty to look at, but he usually seems like there's nothing going on his head.
The feeling is that this is being bankrolled by some unseen party, possibly with connections to the Democratic National Committee. But no one's been able to dig that up yet. So, hey, maybe he's being paid for by the Russians. Everybody else seems to be. By the way, if the Russians are listening, feel free to throw me some money. I may say nice things about you on the air. I may not, but I'll take your money either way. In world news, North Korea threatened to cancel a planned summit with President Trump on Tuesday, citing its concerns with the annual Max Thunder joint military exercises between the United States and South Korea. A statement from Korean Central News Agency referred to the exercises as a provocation and said in part, quote, "The United States will also have to undertake careful deliberations about the fate of the planned North Korea-U.S. summit in light of this provocative military ruckus jointly conducted with the South Korean authorities," end quote. The U.S. responded by removing a B-2 bomber and several F-17 aircraft from the exercises. It's a provocative military ruckus going on down there south of the border.
I mean, is that really news, though?
Can you describe the ruckus?
Can you describe the ruckus?
Yeah.
What sort of ruckus was it?
You know, this is interesting because Full Eagle happened back in April. And North Korea did not bat an eye at Full Eagle this year. And they usually make noise about that. And if we go all the way back to February, when the South Koreans read the statement from North Korea asking for the meeting with Trump, I pointed out that one of the most important things that was contained in that statement was a line saying, "We understand the need for joint U.S.-South Korea military exercises." And at that point in time, it made it seem like North Korea was sort of stepping back from, you know, their concerns that this was a pretense for invasion, and they were going to let us do what we need to do. Well, now here we are, and we're back to where we used to be, which is North Korea sitting there saying, "You're going to invade us." And it's like, no, we're really, really not.
We're not that bored.
We're really not. But it used to be that we would just sort of automatically dismiss those claims from North Korea and say, oh, this is just posturing and propaganda from the country trying to make us look bad and trying to make themselves look good. In light of everything that's happened in the last few weeks, and of course, I had a tendency not to look at it that way. My belief has always been that North Korea is legitimately terrified of us. In light of everything that's happened in the last few weeks, you do kind of look at this sympathetically and you say, they're scared. That's really what underlies this, is somebody over there is scared because they see a bunch of U.S. warplanes flying around over the demilitarized zone. And they're like, you know, if they wanted to come in here and kill us all, they could do that. So there is that sort of statesmanship, negotiation, brinksmanship aspect to this, which is, you do what we say or our meetings are off. And that's North Korea partly trying to get some concessions from us. But the other part of it is, yeah, well, I think they are legitimately afraid of us.
Well, and that's the thing is, it's, you're exactly right, where it's almost a, it's like when you're dating somebody and you kind of test the limits of your relationship. That's the way it feels with North Korea and the U.S. right now, where they're like, let me see how much I can get away with.
Yeah.
Like, let me test the waters, just dip my toe and see what I can get out of this. And then I'll use that to gauge what I can get out of you in the future.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way their behavior seems.
They're also a little unhappy that we want to take all their nuclear weapons away and that we're not going to hand them South Korea. But
Oh, yeah. People don't really hug us for that, do they?
No. And it's, you know, my own feeling on this, the summit is going to happen. All of the meetings are going to happen. This was an opportunity for North Korea,
yes.
Kim Jong-un, to flex a little bit of muscle, as you said, and see what the reaction would be.
Yeah, just see how much he can get away with. See how much that they as a country can get away with.
And the interesting thing is, South Korea's president canceled all of his appearances and immediately, you know, got on the phone with North Korea and said, no, wait, please. Everything's good. Calm down. Relax. The United States actually changed the exercise.
Yeah.
And we actually dialed down the air power because Max Thunder is all about air power. That's what this one is. This is how we're going to fly in and destroy North Korea if we have to. So the fact that both South Korea and the United States have backed down a little bit is probably a reassuring sign to North Korea, and everyone moves forward and the summits move forward and we see where we go from there.
Let's hope that's in a positive direction.
Certainly provocative headlines.
Oh my goodness.
Provocative headlines, but little more. In sports news, why just watch when you can wager?
I was going to say, I'm so excited for whatever you decided to have for the sports story today.
The Supreme Court.
And well, I never care.
We could talk about a lot. We could talk about the Celtics.
I was going to say, I never care, but this week is like the sports news week.
We can talk about the Celtics who are up two games to
But rock them Shamrocks, y'all. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but if anybody is going to win four straight and take the series,
it's going to be the Cavs.
Yeah, next two games are in Cleveland, and LeBron's getting the home cooking, and we are playing against LeBron James. Let's not. If the Celtics win a game in Cleveland.
Oh, LeBron James. I was going to say, if they win the first game in Cleveland, then it's over.
Then everything changes.
It is over.
I was surprised that they won game one.
As I was watching it when I was bartending, and I kept, like, all my customers would start yelling, and I'd be like, what's happening on the TV above me?
I was surprised that they won game one, and I think they won game one because Cleveland underestimated what this team is.
Oh, yeah.
And underestimated
absolutely
how good Jason Taylor and the other young talent on this team
is. And, you know,
is.
I barely care about any sport except for baseball, but this has been an exciting series to watch.
When they won game two, I was like, wait a minute. Something is happening here that we need to pay attention to. And, yeah, we'll see. If they make it to the finals, that will be a massive, massive upset.
Game change.
Yeah, that will be a massive
upset.
That
will be 2004 Sox versus Yankees.
And keep in mind, we're doing it without a couple of our all-stars.
Yeah.
Who are injured. So we'll see what happens. But that is a huge, exciting sports story.
I'm sorry, but what is the other story that we're speaking about?
The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that a federal ban on sports betting is unconstitutional, opening the door for New Jersey, Connecticut, and other states to offer betting on all sporting events. The Supremes left the door open for future regulation, but the majority decision, which saw Lena Kagan side with the court's conservative justices, noted that the absence of federal law prohibiting sports betting allowed states to decide for themselves if they would allow it. Stocks in casinos and gambling technology companies rose following the decision. You may remember a few years ago, New Jersey, their state legislature said, we're going to have sports betting.
Yeah.
And the sports league said, no, you're not, and sued them. And it finally made its way to the Supreme Court. And
I was going to say, this story has been building for years.
And the Supremes told the sports leagues to go pound sand. So here we are. Do not expect this to happen anytime soon in Massachusetts, where the lottery has an iron grip on your gambling dollars.
And our laws are blue.
Yeah. Massachusetts does not allow sports gambling. There is no pending legislation for sports gambling. We are one of three states left in the union where fireworks are still illegal. If you think you're getting sports gambling.
Who are the other two?
Delaware and New Jersey.
Oh, lame. Oh, we are in bad company.
Oh, yeah. That's company you want to be in.
Awful. Awful company.
My annual.
No offense, Delaware and New Jersey, but come on. You know what you are.
My annual tirade against about the ongoing illegality of fireworks.
All they're doing is stimulating New Hampshire's economy.
It goes beyond that. That's part of it. Yes. So Massachusetts, no, we're not going to have sports betting anytime soon. But, you know, New Jersey is just a bus ride away, so you can go down there and get your sports gambling on. There won't be any online gambling associated with this because online gambling is illegal in the United States. That law still stands. But basically what the Supreme Court has said is there are no laws that say you can't bet on a sporting event. And our authority ends, the federal government's authority ends at federal law.
Yeah.
So the Constitution says if the federal government doesn't claim the right, then the right reverts to the states. Go have fun, states. Sports leagues are now, it's going to be the end times and everyone's going to fix games. And yeah, there probably is going to be some of that.
But they've been doing that since before this was legal.
Yeah.
Remember P. Rose?
Yeah. Sports leagues, that's your problem.
That's, I was going to say, you guys can handle that. It's, Yeah.
There is absolutely no reason why sports betting should not be legal in the United States. It's legal everywhere else.
I feel
the
same
way
about prostitution.
You know what? I got nothing against prostitution. I would rather see it legal and regulated.
Exactly. It's the same thing with legalizing pot.
You know,
just have it be legal and regulated instead of having people be in danger.
Yeah.
or ripped off.
Yeah.
For a subpar fellatio act.
And are there people who are going to throw their lives away on gambling? Yes.
Absolutely.
But you know what? If you're running a state lottery and you're talking about gambling ruining people's lives as a state, you're a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Massachusetts, we got casinos.
Well, that's my
brother. We've got a casino. I've been to the casino.
My brother always calls the lottery tax on dumb people.
Yeah. But I mean, Massachusetts, we're running a casino.
I was going to say Massachusetts is the prime example.
We're running the lottery. And then they turn around and you're like, do you have a gambling? Well, we can't have gambling. Gambling is bad. Then why are you making money off of it? Why do we have a state-run lottery if gambling's so bad?
Pick a side.
Yeah. Can't have it both ways.
Well, in entertainment news, speaking of money, Stan Lee has filed a $1 billion lawsuit against POW Entertainment, alleging that unscrupulous business partners took advantage of his declining eyesight in order to swindle him. Lee founded POW in 2001 and sold it last year to Kamsing International Holding, which is a company out of Hong Kong. And according to the suit, Lee has macular degeneration, which causes deteriorating eyesight. And the suit alleges that POW took advantage of his condition to get him to sign away an exclusive right to use his name to the Chinese company. Yowza, right? I love that it's called POW, because I was like, POWza.
Yeah. Well, POW. Is it P-O-W with an exclamation
POW
point?
POW with an exclamation point, comics. Yes.
Did Stan Lee file this lawsuit, or did one of these vultures that is circling Stan Lee file this lawsuit?
Stan Lee filed this lawsuit.
Are we sure of that? Because there is
We're 98.7% sure.
There's a lot of nonsense going on around Stan Lee right now, and a lot of people...
Well, and you know that I'm not, as we, I believe we discussed last week, I'm not like a comic book person. Most of my exposure to comic books has been through the movies of, oh my God, how is his name escaping me right now? Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
That's been most of my exposure, just because those movies are hilarious. And he does a cameo in Mallrats.
Right.
But that's how I even discovered who he was.
Do you watch the Avengers movies? They're good. Have you seen the Thanos?
It's not my thing.
But you should go see what
I've seen, like the Spider-Man movies.
Okay, that's a good. Those are good movies.
Like the good ones, not the second, the Tobey Maguire ones, not the other ones.
Yeah, those ones, a mixed bag in there. Guardians of the Galaxy. Have you seen that?
Of course, I'm obsessed with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, so you should go see the Thanos. You should go see the Thanos because they're all in that. They're a big part of it. It's awesome. I love the Guardians movies, by the way.
Oh my goodness. Like, what's the name of that character that's wood?
Groot.
Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. Best ever. Oh my God, that might be his best performance in the world. But Stan Lee, he's an institution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like but I am 90% sure that this is him, not one of his what have yous.
Stan Lee is George Lucas level cultural influence.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he is,
and again, I'm not into that nerd stuff that you like, but I also know who George Lucas is.
We take this for granted because it surrounds us all the time, but when they talk about the history of human culture, like 1,000 or 500 years from now or whatever, they're going to talk about Shakespeare. They're going to talk about Picasso. They're going to talk about Renoir. They're going to talk about Stan Lee. They're going to talk about George Lucas. They're going to talk about John Williams, because these people influenced so much. Think about the characters that Stan Lee is responsible for. Spider-Man.
And who's been inspired by them?
The Fantastic Four, the X-Men, the Inhumans, the Avengers. Like, all of Marvel Comics pretty much came from Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Oh, absolutely.
And those characters are ubiquitous. The difference between that and DC Comics, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, those were all created by different people.
Like, he is the thought process behind multiple epic characters.
Yeah.
Like, multiple characters that's what, well, I mentioned when he was I love that he does a cameo in every movie that mentions him or that he produces, which is fantastic. But in Mallrats, he sits and has conversation with Brody about the Hulk and about, and he's, it's so clear just by the way he speaks about these characters that they just were produced from his brain.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's even if it's just like, I'm not a fan of the Twilight books at all or the movies. I think they're utter nonsense, but you have to give credit to Stephanie, whatever her name is, for the sheer fact that she produced this out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Stan Lee. Like I said, I'm not a comic book person, but the sheer fact that he was able to just produce that out of nothing is amazing.
I mean, it's
especially something like the Hulk or it's absurd that someone just came up with that.
Even if
I love the Hulk too, because I Hulk out on shirts all the time.
Even if you don't like it, you've got to recognize and acknowledge the cultural impact.
It's a matter of respect.
Yeah.
It's just like I was talking to my friend about how into orthopedics I am the other day. And that's a really random thing to be into. But I just like bones, like sue me. But I was talking about this new surgery that doesn't need screws to put two bones back together, like to put a broken bone back together. It's a new genome thing. Anyways, not enough time to get into it. But that's what she said to me is just, I have no idea what you're talking about. I am 0% interested in this subject matter, but I can respect the fact that it exists. I can, and it's the same thing with me, with comic books, where I have absolutely no stake in this game. I do not care, but I can respect the fact that other people do.
Yeah.
And respect why.
And I mean, it's even from my generation, like Star Wars belongs to my generation. Like that was, we were there when it started.
Oh yeah.
Marvel Comics had already been a thing for 15 years.
I would say forever.
By the time I was old enough to pick up a comic book. And Stan Lee was still, very active, very involved in the company in the 1980s. And I remember all, reading stuff back then, and he was in it all the time. And it's like, if you grew up reading comics in the 70s and the 80s and you read Marvel, you knew that Stan Lee was connected to all of this. You knew that he was like the guiding force for everything happening at Marvel. And you love the guy.
Oh, yeah. Like, this dude is 95 years old.
Yeah.
He is 95 years old. And he spent the better part of his life creating these characters, creating these books, helping... I'm sorry, I don't mean to be offensive, but helping nerds be less lonely by creating characters for them to enjoy. And like I said, even though it's not my thing, I do, and everyone should have respect for that. And he's just adorable too. I love that he does a cameo in every movie he produces.
But he's got a lot of people floating around him in his orbit who recognize that he's 95 years old and that he has money, and money is disappearing and bad things are happening.
People also search for Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. Anytime you hear Stan Lee news, it's like, is this really coming from Stan? Is this coming from somewhere else? I would like to see someone get in there and take care of him and not just bleed him dry.
Yeah,
like
instead of whispering in his ear and lulling him into a false sense of security.
Yeah, he's surrounded by the worst of the worst type of Hollywood vultures.
There's a worse type?
Oh, yeah. we're talking the gutter-level parasites.
Kids, you remember I lived there.
Yeah.
It's a terrible, terrible desert wasteland.
We're talking...
full of soulless buttheads.
We're talking the gutter-level parasites. The people who can't even get into most places anymore because a host takes one look at them and says, no,
not this one.
You're never allowed in here again.
This is not happening.
You know the reason why. Please go away. Yeah. So the only place that they can drink is chain restaurants. That's the kind of people that we're talking about here.
See you at the 99.
Yeah. Anyone ever asks you to take a meeting at a chain restaurant in Los Angeles?
They're not going to give you anything.
Politely decline. Politely decline and immediately block their phone number. That's how that goes. In technology news,
true story.
There is dissent in Google's engineering ranks. Reports this week revealed that a number of Google software engineers have resigned to protest the company's work with the Pentagon. Much of the unrest involves Project Maven, which will use artificial intelligence developed by Google to improve analysis of drone footage and automatically identify structures and people. A dozen engineers left over Project Maven because they believe senior management is not being honest with staff about its purpose, because they don't support the use of artificial intelligence on the battlefield, and in some cases, because they don't believe Google should work with the military at all.
Snap.
Now, what you can say about this...
I was going to say, I don't even know what to say about this.
Is that for every one of these engineers that walks out the door, there are 20 waiting in line for a fat Google paycheck and the opportunity to create mayhem with artificial intelligence. So it's... This is one of those acts of protest that drives me nuts, because you're actually defeating your own purpose by walking away. Because if you have a conscience about this, even if you find it unethical, even if you find it distasteful, if you are on the team that is developing it, you're in a better position to do something about it than the guy Google is going to hire to replace you, who is probably going to walk in the door and say, "We can blow stuff up with Google. Let's do it. How many can we kill today?"
I was going to say, if you walk away at this moment, all that you're doing is opening a position for someone who has less of a good head on their shoulders than you do. Like, this sounds like something that was made up. This is otherworldly.
This is where the snowflakes get it wrong. Because the snowflakes are all like, "Oh, I don't like this. I'm going to go away." And it's like, "Bye. Bye.
Instead of fighting, I'm just going to roll over and die and let somebody else come in who is going to do exactly what I should have fought against."
Yeah. I got 10 bloodthirsty SOBs waiting in the closet over here, chomping at the bit to get their hands on this. Come on in, guys.
That's why when you call me a millennial or a liberal, both of those things, you're incorrect. Because I would not do that. I look at the behavior of snowflakes, as you just called them, or millennials. I'm like, I care too much.
Yeah.
I would never allow any of this to happen. I would never roll over and die. And that's exactly what these people are doing.
I mean, there are situations where, it is the right thing to do to walk away if you're faced with an ethical dilemma. Like, you have a boss who is pressuring you to do illegal things. Like, you can walk away in that situation.
Yeah.
And you walk away.
But then you do something about
it. Right. And you call a government agency and you're like, "Hey, I left my job because X."
Yes, exactly. You don't walk away and do nothing.
This is a different kind of situation. This is a situation where this is going to happen regardless of what you do and who you complain to, because the Pentagon wants it. And the Pentagon gets what the Pentagon wants.
Stupid, right? Weird-shaped building.
Well, they have the guns, and we don't, because David Hogg is taking all of our guns away. Also not true, but... So in that situation, what you want to do is you want to sit there, and you want to be a pain in the neck to everybody and be like, "Hey, what are the safeguards? What are the safeguards? What are the safeguards? What are the safeguards?" The drone program that we operate right now actually has some pretty good human safeguards in place. And people who understand how it works, where you've got a couple of people piloting a drone, and not only do they have to be in agreement about hitting a target, they have to get approval from a supervisor to hit a target.
I say from someone above them.
And that supervisor has to get approval from someone who has looked at all of the intelligence. So it's not like you have one guy sitting there going, "Hey, I see people.
This will be funny."
Yeah. They're not playing video games. It's not Space Invaders.
Like, this is a very thought out decision whenever they're going to employ this tactic.
There are protocols in place.
Yeah.
if you let AI make all of those decisions on its own, then you have some very serious problems. Then you are creating flying murder bots that will wantonly and indiscriminately kill whoever they want to. Nobody wants that.
No, that doesn't sound like a good time.
And in the bigger scheme of things, as unpleasant as war is, anything that connects the reality of killing people to human beings ought to be preserved. Because one of the big complaints, and I think this is an absolutely rightful complaint, that comes frequently from the left about military technology, is things like drones and smart bombs and all of these other new systems, cyber attacks, all these new systems that we've developed, sanitize warfare. You are no longer on a battlefield staring your enemy in the eye as you plunge the bayonet into his heart.
It's desensitizing.
Yeah.
And you can just be like, oh, press a button, instead of having to actually interact with the person you are about to kill.
Exactly. And you never see the consequences of it. You are not physically there experiencing the consequences of it. And because of that, it gives you maybe a little bit more or a little bit less conscience.
It takes you more cavalier about it, because it does. I think that your description of likening it to a video game, which I know they actually have video games that the military plays to do this, likening it to that is very similar, because it's just like it's like Grand Theft Auto, where, you know, like, I remember the first time I watched my brother play Grand Theft Auto, and he like punched a hooker and stole her car.
Yeah.
And I was like, how does this not terrify you? Well, it's just a game.
Yeah. That's not a real hooker.
Yeah, like, that's not a real hooker.
Those are pixels.
This isn't a real car.
Yeah.
But it creates a situation where that you have that feeling with something that is very, very, very real.
Yeah.
And, oh, goodness.
So, you know, I understand where the engineers are coming from. I do share some of their concerns about what's going on here. But you don't walk out the door. You know, when you are, because there are only a handful of people in the world that could even develop this technology. When you are one of those people and you have a conscience and you walk out the door, who do you think replaces you? Somebody with no conscience.
I would say terrible people.
The next person that gets hired is going to be somebody, the first question they're going to ask them is like, are you cool with this being used to kill people? And they're like, hell yeah.
Are you down with this? Oh my God, that's why I wanted this job.
Hell yeah. I want a tenth of a Bitcoin for every person that kills. That's who you're going to get walking in the door. They're going to be like, how do we monetize this to kill more people? So,
do you want me to kill more people? I can do that.
Yeah. Might want to stay in your roles, Google engineers. That's the one thing I'm saying there. It is WMFO Medford. I think you knew that. It is The Big Picture. Hopefully you knew that. I'm Derek Gary. She's Shea Spillane. On the Town with Mikey D is what happens at 9 o'clock tonight. So, full night of great entertainment.
Fantabulousness.
Information and fun things coming your way.
Don't know why.
Oh, please let this be good news.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
You wanted good news?
Well, I mean, I prefer you not lie to me.
No.
Yesterday was terrifying.
Not that.
Straight thunderstorming.
What was up? All right, thunderstorms, I'm good with. I got no problem with thunderstorms. What was up with that yellow sky last night? Did you get that where you were?
Well, I was in Revere. I told you, I was at my friend's house in Revere, and like the thunderstorms were insane. And then we went outside at like 7:30 and just looked around like, oh my God, it's the apocalypse.
Yeah, like, everything just turned yellow.
It was terrifying. Well, and she lives on that stretch of Revere that's like a quarter mile wide.
Oh yeah.
Like right by the beach.
Point of Pines.
And precisely. But yeah, I just looked up and was like, well, kids, it's over.
Yeah. It was as if the color red had been removed from the world.
Exactly.
You know? If the only thing I can compare it to is if you've ever put on those blue blocker sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It turns everything this kind of weird shade of orange.
Yeah.
That's like, that's what the, only was yellow. And it was, and I walked out back because we got plants and stuff out back, and it was just the most vivid, beautiful greens you've ever seen. But I'm looking around and I'm like, wow, this is unsettling.
It reminded, I was going to say it was unsettling. It reminded me of how the sky looks. I'm about to do a nerd thing. In the first Star Wars movie, that planet that Luke Skywalker lives on.
Tatooine with the two suns. Yeah.
Of course you know the name of it.
Of course I do.
But it, the sky, the way the sky looks on that planet is how the sky looked yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what, that was my first thought, was just like, this is what Luke Skywalker sees.
I've seen like weird sky colors before, but what happened yesterday afternoon was super intense.
Yes, absurd.
It was kind of cool. So tonight, there's still going to be some showers around, hit or miss. More likely if you are inland or if you are south of the city. Temperature is going to fall down to around 50 degrees again. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, but we will get into the mid-70s. Temperatures fall back into the mid-50s tomorrow night. Friday, kind of the same deal. Mostly cloudy, only colder. High of 56 degrees. Some showers around. Temperatures falling back into the upper 40s Friday night. Saturday, rain. So forget about getting any yard work done. High in the mid-50s, low around 50 degrees. Can I mention that Saturday is Pokemon Community Day? Sunday, rain in the afternoon, but it'll be a little bit warmer. High in the mid-70s, lows in the 60s Sunday night. Yeah, I think Saturday is Pokemon Community Day, and we have had terrible weather for every single one of them so far this year.
Oh, you poor nerds. I feel so bad for
you. It's tough, you know? You got 3 hours to get out there and catch some Pokemon. It's springtime. You're thinking, oh, it'd be nice to go out and enjoy some nice weather.
And you do got to catch them all.
And it's either snow or wind or rain or something ridiculous going on. So not
or
a good
cool
weekend.
People kicking you in the butt.
Not a good weekend for the yard work. No, the cool people are playing the Pokemon, Shay. That's the thing that you miss. That's a part of this whole thing.
I hate this new zeitgeist we've got going on.
Hey, it works for me.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, back when I was growing up, I used to get my ass kicked for being into this stuff. Now people are like, oh, that's so cool.
Now you're cool all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All of the nerdy stuff is cool now.
I won.
All of our listeners are so happy that I brought up the planet that Luke Skywalker was born on.
Yeah. That's all it takes. I just spent 2 hours talking about horror and science fiction with Chris Earle. By the way, tune into his new show, Watch This.
It's very good.
Wednesdays 5 to 7.
I love that concept. It's really wonderful.
Leads into us. Premise is he asks his guests to talk about their 5 favorite movies. And that's what we did tonight, and it was a good time. And he plays clips from the movies and the trailers and the soundtracks.
And you talked about Star Wars the whole time, didn't you?
No, we talked about Star Wars at the beginning, and then we talked about Blade Runner. And then we talked about Dawn of the Dead. We talked about
my faces and my palms right now, in case all of you are wondering why I stopped speaking for a moment.
We talked about Halloween. That's a good movie.
Oh, I'll get on board with Halloween.
And we talked about Caddyshack.
And Caddyshack, of course.
Those are both good movies. I picked 5 very good movies.
Well, it's funny. The other day when I was at my day job, I was working, I was doing something, and I went, unconsciously. And the guy sitting at the bar goes, Caddyshack fan? I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, you did the Chevy Chase thing. I was like, huh? And then I did it again like 5 minutes later. I was like, oh my God, I completely unconsciously do that.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I mean, if you're going to model yourself after somebody, Chevy Chase, not two shabs.
Well,
hey.
If you're gonna model yourself,
Chevy Chase in Caddyshack. Yes. Let's put it that way.
Yes, generally speaking, that's okay. Ty is a good role model. Chevy Chase, human being at that point in his life,
not the best.
Not so much. 855-915-9636. That's the phone number. 855-915-WMFO. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention here on WMFO Medford?
I'm Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a quiz. Round steak is considered a good economy cut. True or false? True. Round steak is not quite as tender and juicy as some other cuts, but it has very little waste and can be made tender. Let the USDA quality grades be your guide to the right cooking method. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 202-250.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food.
Cha-ching. You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Belaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you until 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO, we love to hear from you. And now it's one of our favorite parts of the program called Did You Hear? Where we quiz each other on the various things that happened in the last week. And for me, I'm going to start out with organ transplants.
Organ transplants.
Yes.
Those are fun.
They are.
They save
lives.
I highly recommend them. This is general. This isn't someone specific.
Yes, general.
Oh, God. I know what you're
talking about. A study that was released today.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and I don't remember the details of it.
Well, researchers released a study today that said America's opioid epidemic has one sad upside, which is that more organs are available for life-saving transplants. Close to 14% of the people who donated an organ in 2016 had died of an opioid overdose. And this is according to a team of experts that reported this in the New England Journal of Medicine. That compares to just 1%. In 2059, organ donors had died of overdoses compared to 1,029 in 2016.
You know what I'm going to tell you.
What?
Drink yourself to death, kids. Livers are cheap and plentiful.
Livers for everyone.
Yay, everybody gets a liver. Yeah.
Well, it is. I believe it. I mean, even I was...
Smoke that extra pack of cigarettes because have we got hearts for you.
Guess how many lungs we have?
Yeah.
Like 1,000.
Yeah.
Well, I was speaking to my father about the other night. It's crazy how many... And there are some I feel like our particular region, along with a couple other particular regions, is specifically... specifically susceptible to this, but I can't tell you how, like, of my friends from high school, I grew up in Quincy, I think 20 have died.
Yeah.
Since I went away to college.
Yeah.
And at least 5 have, like, OD'd and been brought back to life,
You want to know why?
This is a silver lining to a cloud, basically.
Yeah. You want to know why? I'll tell you exactly why.
Because they're bored.
January 2nd to March 31st. That's why. We've got 3 months of the year when we are stuck in the house around here.
And have nothing to do.
At least 2 months when you're stuck inside because of snow and cold and you can't go out. There's nothing to do. And it's like, you know what? I think I'll take up drugs this winter.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I remember, I always say that I got out of Quincy at just the right time because I came back the following summer after my freshman year of college, and wanted to go to the place we used to party all the time. And what used to be like music bumping and everyone dancing and all of us having a good time, suddenly had all these couches and everybody was just like half passed out. And I looked and was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And my friend said, oh, everyone's on Oxycontin.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, peace.
Yeah.
I am out of here.
I'm surprised we don't have way more teen pregnancy than we do around here, except that because
there's a really well-stocked Planned Parenthood.
Well, no. I mean, that's part of it, obviously. The number of Catholics around here is part of it, obviously.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, this state is so obsessed with education and like going to college and building your future and all the rest of that, that if you get pregnant as a teenager, you're pretty much a loser in the eyes of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So people don't do it.
It's,
you know?
It's hidden if you get pregnant as like, a teenager to was, the point where they send you away.
There was the thing up in Gloucester a few years ago where the girls had made a pact to all get pregnant.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And everybody in Massachusetts lost their minds so much that it made national news.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was sort of, it was a chance for the rest of America to look at Massachusetts and see, they can be like Indiana and Mississippi, too. And it's like, no. It's just this one town.
Back
it's
up.
A fishing village. We really don't know what's going on up there. Not representative of Massachusetts as a whole.
No, you're totally right, though. Like, I remember reading that South Dakota has one of the highest levels of meth users.
Mm.
And I believe it, because what else are you going to do in South Dakota?
Yeah.
Like, it makes perfect sense that the highest levels of drug use are in places where either it's boring all the time, or like you said, weather keeps you sitting inside doing nothing for months at a time. It's and that's the irony is that it's you do drugs when you're bored.
I know. I know in December what video games I'm going to be playing in January.
Yeah.
I've got it planned out because I know what's coming. 3 months.
Oh, my biggest.
You're not going anywhere.
My biggest binge watching sessions of Netflix are always December to February.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Without fail.
Once you get on the other side of New Year's Eve, it's like, oh God, here we go. Three months of darkness and cold.
This is, we're starting this up again.
Massachusetts. Vogue.
Vogue?
Vogue. Not Vogue. Vogue.
Vogue.
No Anna Wintour. Just Vogue.
I was going to say Anna Wintour or not Anna Wintour. I don't know.
Apparently this is a word. I learned this word today.
I was saying, is this a word or someone's name?
No,
I have no idea.
It was in a lot of coverage today. That is the official name, apparently, for volcanic smog. It's called Vogue.
Oh, so we're talking about Hawaii.
You got your smog, you got your fog, and now you got
we've
your
got
Vogue.
Our Vogue.
Vogue.
I'm sorry. They need to think of a less fancy